so much.
We are on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. A lot of Agada. A lot of Agada here at the beginning of Ta'anit, and that's all right. Despite the disparaging comments made about Agada last week in the Gemara, I think people generally enjoy it. But it wasn't disparaging. It was just the sense that, like, Agada is easy lifting. It's easy lifting. You know, if you're not up to preparing a real Ian Shear, well, you can say some Agada. So here we are at the top of Zion Amud Bet. Hold on, let me just get the arrow. Omar Rabbi Chama Berbi Chanina. Omar Rabbi Chama Berbi Chanina. Here, on the fourth line. Omar Rabbi Chama Berbi Chanina. Gadol Yom Hagshamim Ki Yom Shenivru Shamayim Va'aretz. Most of the Amud deals with this question of, you know, continuing what we were talking about last week about how great, you know, the arrival of the rain. Particularly, it seems to be a machloket between the Meforshim. Are we talking about all rain? Are we talking about the first rain? Just, you know, like here in Eretz Yisrael, we've experienced in the last, you know, week the first rains of the season. Which, and thankfully, we're in a good position. We're going into the winter in a good position, rain-wise. You know, sometimes the rainy season starts off and you're already at a big deficit in terms of the situation of rain. But since last winter was so incredibly rainy, we're in a good position. So is it every rain, every time it rains, unless, of course, you're talking about, let's say, Gishmei Klala, raining at you know, late in the spring, you know, which is quite rare, but in a way that can damage the crops. Are we talking about any rain? Are we talking about the rain at the beginning of the season, what we experienced last week? Or are we talking about the rain that comes after a drought? In other words, which of these, when we talk about rain, is like so incredibly fantastic, it's equivalent to Tchiyat HaMetim, it's equivalent to the day that the Torah was given. Which of these three possibilities? And all three possibilities exist in the Meforshim. I don't know that we have to box ourselves into one position or the other, but let's assume that we're talking about rain that comes like the most. All rain, I mean, I think that's the theme of the Gemara here, that all rain is miraculous, even though we, particularly we moderns, don't experience it as such. You know, we kind of live in a world where everything seems to function according to natural order. And even when we go through periods of drought, it does not affect our lives or our livelihoods in the way that it did for Chazal or for the biblical period. So let's assume we're talking about it's a drought and then the rain comes. So Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina says that day, that Yom HaGshamim is as great as the day that the heavens and earth are created. How do you know this? So all of these Gemaras, they're these statements where rain is like X. How do we know that? From this Pasuk. And in most cases, there'll be two different possibilities for what the source, what the proof text is for the assertion, or why rain is great, or what is the source of drought. But when you see that there's like a debate between the Amoroyim about what is the pasuk that serves as the proof text for our assertion that rain is as great as the creation of the heaven and the earth, that serves to indicate that the assertion itself is a well-established assumption that rain, the arrival of the rain is like the creation of the heaven and the earth. Why it is, we can debate which pasuk identifies the idea. Because sometimes when you don't have a clear proof text, it undermines the assertion. Because, well, we're not sure what the source is. So who knows if what's being asserted is, you know, is to be taken very seriously. And sometimes such a Gemara will read in the exact opposite manner. And sometimes we'll tell you, this is the fact. What's the proof text? It's almost as if the proof text is unimportant, because it's such a well-established idea that the arrival of the rain after the drought is miraculous, that we needn't point to an exact source, and the source is at best merely a kind of asmachta, a kind of you know, way that we reverse engineer the assertion about the greatness of the rain or the reason for the drought. And that's the kind of construct that we're going to see, I don't know, maybe a dozen times throughout this Amud.
By the way, I did a quick sample of some of these, the rabbis that they're quoting. It looks like the ones that I saw, at least, were from, our Amorai Eretz Yisrael, which is interesting, because I imagine that, you know, this is a very different situation in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael for this thing. So it's, I wonder if it's like, you know, are they deferring, is it something where the Amorai and Bavel were sort of deferring to the Amorai Eretz Yisrael, or was just saying, well, we're focusing on what it's like in Eretz Yisrael? It's interesting, you know, relationship, because, you know, in so many of the sections, they have seniority.
Well, or in other words, it's like the unfortunate expression of Rabbi Yochanan last week about Reish Lakish, listim bilistos yoda, right? A man knows his business, right? We can assume that a person who's in a particular line of work is more knowledgeable about that line. So people who live in Eretz Yisrael are much more. When you lived in America, did you have any idea? Forget how much water was in the reservoir. Who even knew where the reservoir where your water
so
came
it depends
from?
Where you live. Growing up in California, you have a Mediterranean climate, and it actually becomes really important. So I actually lived. I lived on, right next to the reservoir, and the reservoir was the amounts of rains were a big deal. So to this day, it's the same thing in California. When you live in a climate like this, where you have a rainy season, and if the rainy season doesn't work well, you do encounter that.
I assure you,
Brookline, Ben, you need to know where to pasture.
Right. So in other words, but that had nothing to do with the rain. That had to do, and if there had been a pond that was in a reservoir, that would have been. I assure you, growing up in New Jersey, I had no idea where the water came. I don't think it ever occurred to me. Where does the water come?
Reservoirs are recreational sites.
Sometimes, in other words, water, but you know it. But then you know it because it's a park and not because it's where your water comes from. If you would have asked me as a kid, where does your water come from? I would have said it comes from the tap. And that would, beyond that, it never occurred to me. Where the water came from, and I remember once there was in the 70s there was a drought in the New York, New Jersey area, and I remember Ed Koch, Zichrono Livracha, being on the radio telling people not to flush their toilets so much. You know, that was the New York equivalent of Chaval al kol tipa v'tipa. So yes, so obviously, if you live in Mitzrayim, if you live in Bavel, where your water is plentiful and it comes from very strong, powerful, ever-flowing rivers, you're less keyed into this kind of thing. You're going to be less focused on, you know, trying to orient your religious, philosophical worldview around the rains. That's the very point of living in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but if you look at this statement. You consider Riyat HaOlam, you consider the creation, you consider the rain was miraculously woven into the fabric of nature after the creation.
Yeah, for sure. But it's only a question of, like, does the reality of your life reinforce this particular message in a way that you're going to develop multiple explanations for exactly why? Or are you living in a reality where you're more inclined to take it for granted or to focus your spiritual attentions on other matters? So you see, so it's not a mistake. I think David's right. It's not a mistake that these are Amorei Eretz Yisrael that have a lot to say about the climate of Eretz Yisrael. Right? In reality, what did the besides the few pilgrim figures, you know, who went back and forth frequently between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, how much do you think Bavli Jews really knew about the reality of life in Eretz Yisrael? You know, in the 5th, 4th, 3rd century, how much do you think Polish Jewry knew about the reality of life in Eretz Yisrael in the 18th and 19th centuries. Very little. Very little. Okay. So, what's the source? Shnei Emar, Pasuk in Yeshayahu. There are a lot of Pasukim from Yeshayahu and a lot of Pasukim from Eov tonight. Harifu Shamayim Mima'al. Let the heavens drop down from above. Ushchakim Yizlu Tzedek. And let the skies pour down, drip down Tzedek, drip down righteousness or justice. Tiftach Eretz V'yifru Yesha. Let the earth open up and salvation shall arise. Salvation should flourish. Utztaka tatzmiach yachad. And charity or righteousness will prosper, will flourish, will flower as well. Ani Hashem barativ. I, God, have created it. It being singular. You see Rashi? You see Rashi here. Demashma ashchakim yizlukai. Obviously, the antecedent of the thing which God has created is the rain coming from heaven. In other words, the object of the sentence is not the creation of the heaven and the earth, but the rain that drips from heaven. So you see in this description of, right? There's barativ. Baratim lo ne'emar ela barativ. It doesn't say I created them, meaning heaven and earth. But what's my significant creation? It. What's it? It is the rain that falls from the skies. So you see that the rain that falls from the skies is equal to the heaven and the earth. Omer Rabbi Oshaya. Omer Rabbi Oshaya, Gadol Yom Hagshamim, Sha'afilu Yeshua Para Uraba. Great is the day of rain, because redemption is fruitful and multiplies on that day. Meaning on the day of the rain, redemption prospers during the rain, but also on the day of redemption, it will be raining. And there's the idea that like all of the different simanim of when Mashiach will come, among them, in order for Mashiach to fulfill all of the different possible simanim of his arrival, he'll have to arrive multiple times, because he won't be able to do all these different things at once. But among them is this idea that Geshem and Yeshua are connected. Sha'afil Yeshua para shne'emar, tiftach eretz v'yifru yesha. Right, it's the same pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's the same pasuk that was quoted earlier in Yeshayahu. It's just the continuation that the earth should open up and will bring forth salvation. Omar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, Einag Shamim Yordim Ela Imkein Nimchalu Avanotehem Shel Yisrael, because the rain doesn't come unless God has forgiven the sins of the people. So in other words, God having forgiven the sins of the people and kind of like washing them away with the rain, that then sets the ground for redemption. Shnei Emar, Ratzita Hashem Artzecho, Shavta Shviat Yaakov, Nasata Avon Amecha, Kisita Kol Chatatam Sela. That's a pasuk in Tehillim that Hashem has ratzita. You desired it, but you, right, like we say in davening, ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, right? That God, you should look with favor on the land, and you should return the captives of Yaakov, and you should forgive the sins of your people, and pardon all of their sins. The rest of that perek in Tehillim, perek uh, Perek Ayin Hey, talks about rainfall. A lot of these psukim, it's important to look in context at what's going on. But you see this connection between the rain coming as reward for righteousness, as reward or as kind of like a cleansing of the sins that have been forgiven. Some have observed the idea that the rainy season begins, you know, very shortly after Yom Kippurim. So you can say, well, that's obvious because after Yom Kippurim, the sins are all wiped out. We go back to zero. We're in a pretty good state, at least through, you know, we can manage to behave ourselves through Sukkot. And after Sukkot, at the end of Sukkot, we start asking Mashiv Arachem Rida Goshem, and then shortly after V'tein Talu Matal Avracha, it starts raining, because when you're in that good position in terms of Yirat Shamayim, in terms of having few Chataim, so that's when we're rewarded with the rain. You can also, you know, imagine it the opposite, that that Yom Kippur comes then, because it fits in, you know, with the agricultural cycle and etc. Obviously, the davening for rain on Sukkot is really quite a central theme. This idea that the rain and Maaseh Bereishit are connected, that they're equated, is reflected in a well-known Rashi, which we all, I mean, everybody must still be doing Shnai Mikra because we're still at the beginning. So you must remember the Rashi from a couple of weeks ago. In Perek Beis of Bereishis, it says, Elo toldos ha-shamayim v'aretz, bihi baram, biyom asot ha-shem Elokim eretz v'shamayim, v'chol siach ha-sadeh terem yeh ba'aretz, v'chol esef ha-sadeh terem yitzmach, ki lo himtir ha-shem Elokim al ha-aretz. When God creates the world, you know, in the first chapter, you know, all the very famous differences between chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Bereishit, which of course were highlighted by Rabbi Soloveitchik in The Lowly Man of Faith. Let me put an asterisk in the conversation. I'll come back to that in a second. So the counting day by day of what happens on each of the days of creation, that's in Perek Aleph. In Perek Bet, it's describing the creation of man. It focuses much more on the creation of man. And it says, at a certain point, before all of the vegetation had sprouted forth, the siach ha-sadeh, the grass of the field, it had not sprung forth, all of the greenery, the plants, the trees. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al haaretz. God had not yet brought rain. Why hadn't he brought rain? V'adam ayin la'avodat ha'adamah. He hadn't brought rain, and there was no man had not yet been created to toil in the field. V'ed ye'alem in ha'aretz v'hishka et kol pnei ha'adamah. And this mist rises up and waters the earth, and that's when all the things start growing. So Rashi says, terem yeh ba'aret. So first he deals with the grammatical issue, that terem, v'chol esef hasadeh, terem yitzmach, kol terem shebemikra lashon ad lohu. Right? It means that it had not yet sprung forth. What does it mean that the plants had not yet sprung forth? Avzeh, Tifaresh adayin lo haya ba'aretz kishenigmara briyat ha'olam b'shishi. It's on the sixth day, prior to the arrival of Adam HaRishon, it was just, you know, it was just the third rock from the sun. There were no plants, there was no grass, there was nothing. Kodem shenivru Adam, before man was created. V'chol esev ha-sadeh adayin lo tzamach. Uveshlishi shekatub, but wait a second. If you go back a chapter to chapter one, it says that on Tuesday, on the third day, shekatub v'totse lo yetsu. So on the third day, who's making that noise? Okay, on the third day. Of creation, it says that all these plants had been created. So how do you square that with our understanding from the second chapter? So Rashi says, No, they were created in potential. They were created in seed, but they hadn't yet sprung forth.
It sprouted.
Then it sprouted. Lo yatsu ela al petach hakarka. Amdu ad yom shishi. So between the third day, when they were there right below the surface of the earth, and the sixth day when they sprouted, so they were there, but they weren't there. They were there in potential, but not in, in actuality. Valama ki lo himtir, because God had not yet brought the rain. Umatam lo himtir, why hadn't he brought the rain? Lefisha adam ayin la avoda ta adama. Right? Because, number one, man hadn't yet been created to work the land, so there was no purpose of having all of these plants around. Ve'ein la'avo et adama ve'ein makir betuvatan shel gshamim, and he did not yet appreciate the value of rain. Meaning, had God brought forth all of the greenery before Adam was created, he would have missed out on something. He wouldn't have seen that the rain comes and causes everything to flourish. And since he came to see that and recognize that, ukeshaba Adam v'yada shehem tzarech leolam hitpalel aleihem v'yardu v'tzamchu ha'ilanot v'adshayim. And then man was able to understand where he fits into the into the natural order. The rain is necessary for the plants to grow. The growing of the plants is obviously necessary to keep him alive. The rain is necessary for the plants and the trees and the flowers and the shrubs and the grass to grow. So he then recognizes that he has to daven. He has to daven to ask Hashem to send the rain so that it will come. And this, that's the, according to the drash, that's what it means. V'chol, Rashi doesn't say this. I'm saying it. That's what it means. V'chol siach hasadeh. Siach, the pshuto shel mikra, means the bushes. But siach means the conversation, right? Like we learn in Brachot, ein sicha ela tfila, that the word siach itself is a coded word for tfila, for prayer. So we say v'chol siach hasadeh terem yeh ba'aretz. It does. Don't read it according to the pshat that there were no bushes yet in the world. Read it that there was no prayer yet in the world. Because there was not yet a need for prayer. Everything was there in potential. Man comes along, understands his role is to pray. He prays, God sends the rain, and the potential turns to actuality. Let's go back to the Gemara. Yes, where are we? Omar le Ziri midahavit liravina. Ziri from this place called Dahavat. David, do you have one of those Gemaras that can tell us where Dahavat is?
I don't have it here. Mm-hmm. But no.
Okay. Anyway,
look it up.
Lo Mishneh. He's from a place called Dahavat. Ziri says to Ravina, "Atun mehocha matnihu la. You learned it from this source. Anan mehocha matninan le. We have a different source. We have a different source for this idea that that you know, rain is connected to redemption." And his pasuk is v'ata tishma hashamayim v'salachta lachatat v'chulei. It's a pasuk from Tfilat Shlomo in Malachim. So here's really a case where it's when the Gemara says v'gomer etc. The Gemara takes it for granted. You know, forget the fact that the Gemara doesn't quote its sources. That the Torah Or, which much later came in and put in the cross references to which perek and Tanakh any pasuk is in. The Gemara assumed, of course, that you knew Tanakh. And the Gemara also assumed that I don't need to spell everything out for you. Right? If I give you enough of a pasuk and write Vagomer, you obviously remember the pasuk in context. So since we all remember the pasuk in context, it'll be easy to review it here. It's a pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perek Chet. But it really shows that you really do sometimes need to look up the psukim to see it in context, to understand what it's talking about. Be'atzer shamayim velo yematar. When the heavens are closed up, when the heavens are sealed, and there's no rain, ki yechtu'ulach, right? Because the Jewish people have sinned to you, God. Right? When how do you know that sin is the source of people, of there not being rain? What's the most obvious source for that idea?
Kriyashma.
Right? Ki echatu. When they sin, you lock up the heavens, you close the rain. Vehit palalu el hamakom hazeh. This is the tefillah that Shlomo is saying at Binyan Beit HaMikdash. He says, now people can daven. You can daven to the Beit HaMikdash. You can daven at the Beit HaMikdash, or you can daven facing the Beit HaMikdash. And that's like a way to get out of our pickle. Because if davening, you can do tshuva. And if you daven and you do tshuva, then you can have redemption. You can be saved. You can have yesha. V'hodu et shemecha u'mechatatam yeshuvun ki ta'anem. Right? You can, they'll praise Hashem, they'll thank Hashem, they'll be returned from their sins. V'ata, this is the part of the Pasuk our Gemara quotes. V'ata, you Hashem, tishma hashamayim, v'salachta lachatat avadecha v'amecha, v'amcho Yisrael, ki toreim et haderech, they'll fix their ways, haderech hatova, asher yelchuba, venatata matar al artzacha, asher natata lamcha lalachala. The people do tshuva. In other words, what's the point of Beit HaMikdash? It's a place to focus our minds towards tshuva. Because without tshuva, we're in trouble. What kind of trouble? We're not going to have rain. Right? So you see here, this pasuk, v'ata tishma hashamayim v'salachta l'chatat avadecha, shows that being redeemed from sin is connected to rain. The barometer is fixed. Omar, back to the Gemara. Hold it on. Okay.
A few lines up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but the Omer of Tanchum Bereder of Chia Ish Kfar Akko. Ein hagshamim ne'etzarim, ela imkein, nitchayvu soneim shel Yisrael. What's the reason for drought? So the drought never comes unless the soneim, the enemies of Israel, should be in trouble. They should be mechuyavim. They should be susceptible to punishment. So who are the soneim shel Yisrael? So Sanayim Shal Yisrael sometimes means, you know, those nasty goyim that try to hurt us. But Sanayim Shal Yisrael is very often a euphemism for us, for wayward Jews who have sinned. So when Jews have sinned, that's when the heavens get locked up. Nitchayvu Sanayim Shal Yisrael klaya. If the enemies of the Jews, if the sinning Jews have become so downtrodden in their sin that they are chayav klaya, that they should be wiped out. It's kind of funny, of course, in light of Noach. Remember, after Noach, Hashem promises that he'll never bring rain. He'll never use rain as a punishment. But by that, he means he'll never use rain by bringing rain, but withholding rain is apparently still something he has in his arsenal. So how do you know this idea that drought is the product of sin? Shne'emar, it's a pasuk in Eov, Tzia gam chom yigzulu mimei sheleg. Sheol chata'u. Si'ah is drought. It's a poetic biblical word for drought. So drought and heat steal the snow, the waters of the snow, and the sinners should go to hell, should go to Sheol. So what does that mean? So whatever the snows of the, maybe it means that the, like in the winter, in the snow, the snow, like a good snowy winter is very good for, is very good for, right? We had this earlier in the Gemara, didn't we? I'm trying to remember. What was it that like every tefach of snow is like two tefachim of rain or something like that? Where did we saw that early in the Gemara, that there's a calculation that the quantity of snow is much, much more valuable than a quantity of rain, in terms of its ability to water the earth. So, in other words, if you sin, drought and heat come and they sap the reservoir of snow rain, yigzalu, they literally steal it. And the sinners have to go to their punishment. So you see that heat, drought, sin are all connected. Omar le zira medifte le ravina, atun mehacha matnitu, la anan mehacha matnilo. You, that's your source. We have a different source for the idea that sin is the source of drought. A much more obvious pasuk than a pasuk no one ever heard of from Eov, and that's the pasuk that Svi already pointed to. Va'atzar et hashamayim v'lo yematar va'avadatem mehera me'al ha'aretz. Right. In other words, our ability to remain here, our claim to Eretz Yisrael, right, is a function of righteousness. Sin will distance us because va'atzar et hashamayim. It won't rain. We won't be able to stay here without rain. This is not like Mitzrayim. It's not like Bavel. Without rain, we don't have a chance. And without tshuva, without redemption, we don't have a chance. Because the rain falls in accordance with our righteousness. Omar Rav Chisda, Ein Hagshamim Ne'etzarin, Ela Bishvil Bitul Trumot Umasrot. He has a different idea. That rain stops, the drought comes because people are not being careful with trumot umasrot. Shnei emar siya gam chom yigzlu mimei sheleg. The same pasuk from Eov. My mashma. What does that pasuk have to do with anything? Tana devei Rabbi Yishmael b'shvil dvarim shetziviti etchem b'mot hachama velo asitem. Yigzalu mikem mimei sheleg bimot hagshamim. In other words, the word tsiya, this poetic word in Eov, which means drought, batsoret is the more common word. But in Eov, he has this word tsiya. David, have you already looked up this word?
I've read about it. It's one of the theories that is the origin of the word tsion.
Oh, really?
Because it's like they say it was like a barren hill originally, and that was, yeah.
That's Tzion isn't from like the idea of like Mitsuyan.
There are a number of different theories.
Okay. So Tzia, the Gemara darshans it as like from Lashon Tzivui. So in other words, if you don't do your mitzvot in the summer, then you won't be able to live in the winter because the rain won't come. And the Gemara takes it for granted that the mitzvot that we're talking about are Trumot Umasrot. Maybe Trumot Umasrot are, I don't know, distinctly summer mitzvot, because, you know, that's when you're bringing in the bulk of your crops. So maybe that's why, that's what the Gemara is talking about, the summer and the winter. I'm not sure. Um, Omer of Shimon ben Pazi, Einak Shamim Netzarim Ela Bishvil Misapre Lashon Hara. No, drought is a function of Lashon Hara. Shene Emar, Ruach Tzafon, Shene Emar, Ruach Tzafon Ticholel Geshem, Ufanim Nizamim Lashon Sater. A posuk from Mishlei, that the north wind brings the rain, but a Lashon Soter, a backbiting tongue, brings about an angry panim nizamim, a kind of angry countenance. Rashi says that the angry countenance is Hashem. You see, Rashi says, where is it? Here. Ruach Tzafon, Ticholel Geshem, Ufanim Nizamim Lashon Sheker, Ticholel Tivatel Kemo Lo Yechal Dvaro, Kida Amar B'Yevamot, De Ruach Tzafon Baruhu Umevi Ora Leolam, Mashig Shamim Ne'etzarim Ufanim Nizamim, Shem Ar'e HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'eno Mevi Matar Leolam. The angry face, Lashon Hara, right? This kind of wicked tongue, this backbiting tongue, that creates an evil face. So who's the evil face? It's the evil face is Hashem. Hashem frowns at us when we tell Lashon Hara. And the result is drought. Omar of Salah, Omar of Hamnuna, Ein Hagshamim Netzarim Ela Bishvil Azei Panim. No, the source of drought is Azut Panim. It's one of, you know, like we say in the Al-Chetz. Azut Panim is, it's usually translated as insolent. Insolence. You know, it's a kind of expression which is, it combines like arrogance and rebellion and chutzpah and all of these things. So I'll just say Azut Panim and you'll understand what I mean. Shne Emar. How do we know that? Shene Emar, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, V'yim An'u Rivivim, U'malkosh Lo Haya, U'metzach Ishazona Hayalach. Right? The rains, the Rivivim, the Rivivim is a synonym for rain. The rain doesn't come, and at the same time, there was no Malkosh. Malkosh is the rain at the end of the season. In other words, not only is there a drought going into the new rainy cycle, but you started with a deficit because there was no Malkosh at the end of the last winter. So you have no new rain coming. You had no old rain in reserve, and yet you have a. The forehead of a prostitute, of a harlot, right? What does that mean? Why does a zona have a certain kind of look on her face? So, I guess the Gemara assumes that to be a zona, to make your living in that way, you have to have like a certain kind of, arrogance, a certain kind of, self-assuredness. I mean, You're probably not going to prosper in that line of work as a zona if you're very shy and humble. So you need to have a certain brazenness. Brazenness is the word to go out to the street corner and, you know, ply your wares. So what is it? So the Gemara says, V'omar of Salah, Omar of Hamnuna, Kol Adam Shiesh Lo Azut Panim, Sof Nichshal Ba'Vera. Right. This kind of azut panim, this brazenness, leads to sin. Shnemar umetzach isha zona hayalach. You had the expression, you had the facial countenance. You wore it on your, like we say, it's what's the English equivalent of that to say? You wear it on your sleeve, right? So the biblical idiom here is that you wear it on your forehead. You have this kind of brazenness. You have the brazenness of a harlot. inscribed on your forehead. So it says, it's not, it doesn't say, Haya Rav Nachman Amar, Biyadua Shenichshal Ba'Avera. We knew such a person was destined to sin. Shneemar Hayalach, Velo Neemar Yialach. In other words, any person who has, it's like a person who has this kind of personality, somebody who's very brazen, somebody who's very arrogant, somebody who's very insolent. So they are muchzak that they are destined to sin. And it's as if they've already sinned because that's the kind of personality that gets into sin. So it doesn't say that he will sin. It says the sin is already on him, whether or not he has yet sinned. Because a personality like that is headed for trouble. Doesn't mean that he's headed for the kind of sin that's connected to znut, necessarily. Right? It just means that like that kind of personality is on the path to sin because it leads you to, well, it's not really a recipe for Yirat Shamayim. Now you can change, you can do tshuva, you can wipe that look right off your face, right? Like your mother used to tell you, wipe that look off your face or I'll wipe it off for you. So, but you know, that kind of personality like that is on the path to sin. Omar, what time is it? Omar Rababar Ravhuna, Kol Adam Sheyesh Lo Azut Panim, Mutar Lekrot Rasha. Anybody like this, anybody who has this kind of haughty, brazen insolence about him, you can call them a Rasha. You can call them a wicked person. Even if, I mean, you don't know for a fact that they've sinned, but they're already in the category of Rasha. Shneemar, He'ez Ish Rasha Bifanav. Right, in Mishle it says that that's a wicked person, a Rasha. That's the way he looks. That's the way he looks. He has that kind of look on his face. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Mutar lisnoto, and you can even hate such a person. Meaning, you don't violate the prohibition against hating a fellow Jew if you hate such a person. Shneemar v'oz panav yeshune, and the pasuk in Kohelet really means the opposite. It means that a person with his face can change. Yishune, he will change himself. Al tikri yishune ela yisone. You can hate him until he changes, even though there's always hope that's held out that he can, that he will do tshuva. Until he does tshuva, he's in the category of a rasha. Even if you have no evidence that he has in fact sinned. Now, that being said, we should be careful, I think, about, you know, judging people. Like, who's to say whether or not somebody, like, we all know people like this. We all know people that are like, they're cranky, or they're, they just come across in a certain way. But, you know, we should be careful about judging people here quite literally by their appearance, or even judging people by the kind of personality they put forth. But nevertheless, the Gemara is trying to tell us, forget whether or not you should hate such a person, you should be careful not to be such a person yourself. Right, you should never present yourself as having azut panim, being insolent, being rebellious, being, you know, this kind of constellation of character traits: arrogance, chutzpah, rebelliousness, insolence. These are the kinds of things where people are liable to judge you as being in the category of a rasha, being in the category of somebody who sins, whether or not you actually have sinned. All right, let's do just a drop more. Omar. Omar, Rav Katina, Enag Shamim Netzarin Ela Bishvil Bitul Torah. Now, the real reason for drought is caused through Bitul Torah, through not studying Torah. We're not dedicating ourselves to Torah study. Shneemar, a pasuk in a Kohelet, ba'atzaltayim yimach hamkare. through their laziness, through their laziness, the laziness of the Jewish people, the korei habayit, the beams of the house, you know, the you know, like the center poles that hold up the whole house. There must be a more elegant word for that in English. You know, that beam, that rafter that goes across, which holds up the house. The rafters will sink. Your house will sink. The korot beitenu, the rafters, the pillars of your home fall down because of your laziness. So the pshat of the pasuk probably means, you know, if you don't build your home well, if you build your home with a little laziness, so it's not going to last. You know, if Ben, are you all right?
Yep, I'm still here.
You were just demonstrating what it would look like if the roof fell in. You know, like, you know, you go camping, so there are people that are really good. They get like, Ben, look at the kids doing.
you know, that's a phone and not a computer.
You know, you go camping. There are people that, like, they really know what they're doing. They know how to get that tent up. It'll stay up like in a Category 5 hurricane, right? You know, the ropes are tight and taut, and the poles are perfectly perpendicular, and etc. There are other people that, you know, put up their tent. It looks like, you know, I'm pretty sure there's like a scene in an old Charlie Brown movie like this. You know, like it's, you know, he might as well be sleeping in a garbage bag. You know, is the equivalent. So if you're lazy about laying the foundations of a proper house, it's not gonna last. So the Gemara understands the pasuk that the laziness that brings down the rafters, that brings the roof down, is the laziness not of building the house properly from its foundation to begin with, but the metaphorical building of the foundations of the house, which are of course Torah study. Bishvil atzlut shehaya b'Yisrael shelo asku b'Torah naseh son'o shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The laziness of the Jewish people in abandoning Torah study turns them into the enemy of God. V'ein mach ela oni. And this mach, this bringing down of the rooftops, is not a literal collapse of the rooftops, but poverty. Poverty is the punishment here. But again, poverty and meteorology are directly connected. In other words, if there's a drought, that means everyone is going to be poor. Shne'emar v'imach hu me'erkecha. Right, that if a person's value, this is the psukim from which we learn the halachot of erchin. Right, the value of a human person, mach here means like we have the word namuch, right? Hamachir namuch midai, namuch namuch, right? Mach means that the value comes down, meaning his bank account comes down. Ve'ein mikare ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and what's the beam of the house? What's the tent pole of our lives? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that holds up the whole house. Shne'emar hamekare b'mayim aliyotav. That Hashem laid the foundations, or he laid the beams of, like when he created the heavens and the earth, he created this, like this idea that the rakia holds back the water, meaning Hashem laid the foundations of the earth. He put in the beams of the house. That's what he did. Rashi says, "Yimach kimi she'ein bo koach lahurid talu matar." What does it mean that we are brought low? We are impoverished. We are impoverished in our ability to petition for behalf of rain. Huh? But maybe it means that Hashem is weakened. Meaning, if we don't study Torah, it affects the fabric of creation. And if we don't study Torah, it, as it were, kaviyachol, weakens Hashem's power to bring the rain. Not that he can't bring the rain. Obviously, Hashem can do anything he wants. But since he doesn't bring the rain as a punishment for us, it creates the like we saw you know, last week with Avraham arguing with Hashem, right? That ultimately the need to punish us is not good for him, because it weakens his position in the universe, because we are therefore not able to be his messenger and to spread his word. Okay, we'll stop here. The Gemara goes on a bit more with these in this vein, but we'll pick it up next week from the bottom of Zion. Okay, Lala Tov.
Thank you very much. Thank you.